Okay, well, it's really great to be out with you again. I've got some props today, some props for my trip. I want to give you some background about how this all started for us, you know, as a church and for me. In 2012, someone started a forum on my behalf called Preparing for Destiny. This was a forum online which people could ask questions, and there are 14 people who joined that forum and kept asking me questions over a period of time, which I just typed out the answers, and they kept asking me more questions, so it was like 100 odd questions on there. And then in 2013, God started to challenge me to reach out, to be proactive rather than reactive. And I must admit, I was somewhat resistant to that, because what I was doing, I was looking forward from what God said, trying to figure out how we could do it. How would it be possible to do what God said? And actually, I came up with the conclusion that it wouldn't be. So I sort of was resisting. And it's this picture about if you stand in the middle looking forward at what will be, then you've only got your own resources and your own ideas of how what will be can come about. But if you turn and look at what was, which is where God had his plan in eternity, and you look at how he outworked that plan, then you can see it from the beginning rather than the end, and which makes a huge difference to coming into agreement with God, because in God all things are possible, but with us they may not be possible. So I, in the end, sort of gave in and surrendered. June 2012, I did my first conference in Guildford, and again, when someone asked me to do it, my first reaction was, no, don't really want to go to Guildford. It's too far away. means they're going to have to travel for 3 or 4 hours. Really not really bothered. But I said to God, okay, if you want me to go, you really need to confirm it. And then Dan actually came with this. He said, I've had this dream. And I don't really understand this dream, but maybe you did. And he had this dream of this helicopter carrying this ship and dropping it on a tributary of the Thames. And part of my destiny, and one of the things at the front of my own scroll of destiny, is a ship. And I sort of looked it up online and saw that actually Guildford's on a tribute to the Thames. So I thought, okay, God, I better say yes. So I did that. And then November 2013, I was asked to go to Ireland for 3 days, which was really interesting. And I sort of thought about it for a while and said yes. And then went to Germany and 2014 for 4 days. That was last year, which was really, really great time. And that sort of was the first time I really did something, which I think was what God really wanted me to do in sharing what God's doing in these days. And then last year I went to, again in July and August, went to Atlanta, Maryland, and Toronto for 2 weeks. So these things have sort of been building up from, you know, a few days to a few days. And then this week has been almost 3 weeks. This trip has been almost 3 weeks to the US. Now, that means, doesn't mean I'm going to go for 4 weeks. I definitely don't think so. So before I went, in 2013, God challenged me when I was looking at, can I do this? And he took me out into the sort of the solar system to see the world from a sort of football size. I can say football here. Over in the US, I have to say soccer ball, because their footballs are oval. So I was taken to see sort of this time zone, and I took it into my heart, and it changed my heart. And as a result of that, God took me into a place in heaven where a mountain, and gave me some greater authority at that point in time. So when the world was in my heart, my whole heart changed, and I was willing to sort of sacrifice some things to outwork what God wanted me to do. And in 2013, in August, I was called to do this sort of proactive sort of reach out. And all I did was sent out a message to that 14 people on the forum that God wanted to raise up a Joshua generation. And if people were interested, you know, we could do some hangouts, which would be online sort of video type things. Although I didn't realize you could record them at that stage. And three people responded, two in Atlanta and one in Maryland in the US. And then in September, again, God said, well, what about the UK? So I sent out an email to the people that we had contacts with through the various conferences we did, And 10 people responded. And in October 2013, I organized this hangout online, and 10 people were going to come into it, but only two managed it. It was sort of technical problems. Only two came in. And in the end, after having a few minutes sort of chatting with them, I thought, oh, well, I'll just give them my testimony of how I journey to see in the spirit. And you know, I mean, it was so funny because at the end of this sort of testimony, and I was sharing how I can see in the spirit realm, see people's angels. And this guy said, well, can you see my angels? I said, well, yeah, if I choose. So I sort of said, yeah. He said, well, can you describe them? I said, yeah. And just as I was about to say yes, the whole connection dropped. So he was left in the hangout on the other end with me just about to say, well, here are your two angels. But I couldn't get back in. But what he did was he contacted me and said, well, what about the other people who couldn't get in? Could you send them the link to this? So I did. This is the first one I recorded. First one I practiced, how can you record these things on YouTube? And as a result of that, the rest of them said, well, can we share this with our friends? Yeah. And I said, well, yeah, I can publish it online publicly and then people can look at it. And that was really how this all started, with really connecting with people online and videos. Now there are sort of 350 or so YouTube videos. I think Valtret's listened to them all and transcribed most some of them. So this has sort of grown. And now I sort of connect with 30 plus groups around the world from time zones -8 to +11, which is quite a wide spread, from Pacific West Coast in the US right over to Australia and New Zealand on the other end. So in August this year, or last year actually, we launched the Engaging God Manual, and it was an alpha group trial. And I was looking for a sort of 10 to 20 people who would trial an online manual with basic steps of how to engage God, how to see and hear in the spirit, how to go into heaven, how to do those things. Now, you know, I did think 20, but we got 200 people, which was somewhat of a shock. And it was quite an interesting logistical thing to pull together 200 people from around the world, as Jeremy now knows. It's interesting. And in February, we launched that as a subscription thing. And I thought, well, maybe out of 200, maybe 50 might apply and to continue the trial by subscribing. And 140 did. They became members of the Alpha group. And then in April, we launched the Beta group. And now there are sort of 430 sort of plus people, I think, in that. So just from opening a door and being obedient to do what God said, God opened those doors and we just have stepped through them. And so some things seem so impossible from our own perspective. How could I connect up with people all over the world when we knew it was God's call for us to help and support and mentor people and sort of equip people around the world in what God was doing in these days? But how can you do that when you don't know anybody? Well, God has ways of doing it. Sometimes through fortunate accidents, serendipity, where you think things are going wrong, but actually God has it all in plan. You know? So that's really where it started. And then New Year's Eve 2013, I had this encounter again with the solar system. So all the world spinning around and lights arcing all over the world and little threes. And I knew that was about establishing Bench of Threes and governmental blueprints for cities of refuge and things around the world. But again, it was like, okay, how? You know? And again, God said to me, well, just contact the people you know. So I sent out a thing saying, who's interested in government? You know, I'm thinking, well, that'd be really cryptic. You know, so I hope people sort of came and responded. And there was three or four ladies from the Pacific Northwest who responded to that, who Alice knows really well. They sort of called themselves, or are part of something called God's Girls. And they really are girly. It's like we have a lot of fun. And they giggle a lot and laugh a lot. But that was the first connection with the Northwest. And after that, people just started contacting me from the Northwest about connecting and contacting and being in groups. And so now there are like five or six groups, different groups over in the Northwest that I actually specifically connect to. So then when they invited me to go, I really felt it was significant. And what all this was about raising up a Joshua generation of mentors. who would be living according to the order of Melchizedek, which is the four faces of God in government, lion, ox, eagle, man, king, prophet, apostle, priest. And that would really open up opportunity to connect with like-minded people around the world, which has happened. And what I've been sharing really is the sort of this deep calls to deep. Psalm 42:7, deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. God calling people deeper and deeper and deeper to come closer to him. Because Revelation 1:15 says his voice was like the sound of many waters. So God's voice is going out as a sound, calling people to come to him, to resonate with him, to come into agreement with him. So that sound, frequency, vibration, you know, has been something which over the last 3 or 4 years has been really significant in terms of several of us here have been hearing that sound, and then more and more people heard it, and some of us have been singing that sound and making that sound as we've been worshiping. And, you know, that sound is drawing people to their heavenly home, into a new heavenly agreements and alignments with the positions of authority God's got for everyone. And that sound has been there, and I can remember drawing this sound as a symbol, as this sort of infinity symbol or the symbol of covenant in the air with my hand as this opened up. So I went early in this year, in New Year's Eve, I think it was New Year's Eve again, I went into the temple in where Isaiah 6 described coming before the seraphim and the altar being there, and I saw the seraphim, they were really looking at me intently, and their eyes are really quite piercing and fiery. And I looked behind and saw this bow and arrow, and picked it up. And then sometimes when you're in the presence of God, all you want to do is be captivated by his presence. So you don't necessarily look around and see what's around. But when I looked around, I saw these maps. Some of them were worldly maps. Some of them were trans-dimensional maps. And I can't really describe what they are, but I could see them. And I fired this arrow and it went right into the northwest of the US. And then I fired several more and they went all over the US. It's like a matrix of connections connecting them all up. Thank you. And it looked like that. So when I looked at it, I thought, wow, that looks like a mountain pyramid. And it's connecting all over from the northwest to the southeast. And so I thought, okay, this is God's government and how he's going to establish government in the US. Plus, I felt it was really significant that that would be something that was going to be released in many other places. And then I had an encounter with the lion, the face of the lion, and it sort of roared right in my face. You know, when you have a lion roar in your face, it's quite an intimidating thing. And I was like, whoa. And basically, it was to release a new sound and a new call, that the old order will end and the new order will be ready to take responsibility. And I saw so many mountain ranges. The mountains are just symbols of authority in the realms of heaven. And they're all unoccupied because of the failure of the previous generation to cross over into their heavenly authority. So I saw these ranges covering the globe. And I saw many of the mountains, three benches on them, three thrones, which were for benches to call people to take their positions of authority over these realms. And so many people fail to answer the call because they're too busy doing things for God and not having enough time to be friends with God, to hear him speak to them intimately. So on this trip, you know, it was a 10.5-hour flight, which was great. I managed to see 5 films in 10.5 hours, which was great. 4 sci-fis, really good ones. Lucy was a great film, by the way. Awesome. Expanding the potential of what we can do with our minds. I thought that was really excellent. So I flew over to Seattle and went to a place called Federal Way, which was just south of there, Seattle. And then I went over to the southeast, over to a place called Yakima, and then went from there over to Portland, which is in Oregon. So I crossed over from Washington into Oregon. Then I crossed back over, a short little hop over the River Columbia to Vancouver. Which, you know, when I first said that I was going to go to Vancouver, I thought, Vancouver, Canada, that's a long way. You know, they said, well, it only takes sort of half an hour, an hour. I thought, we must be going to practice trans-relocating because you can never get to there. Then I found out there's a Vancouver in Washington State, just over the river. And then from there, I went down to Corvallis, which is further down in Washington. And then I went back to Portland for the last night, and then I flew all the way down to Atlanta. So in Washington, I managed to do, in Seattle area, I did 16 sessions there in 3 days, which was really interesting. Really open, people. And there on the second night, I was woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I never get woken up. And there was a huge atmospheric disturbance spiritually. And it was like, whoa, what is going on? And there was like several people felt the same thing that night. So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go and find out. So I sort of stepped into heaven, had a look. And it was just, everything was just chaotic up there because there was no government. There was no one taking responsibility for the atmosphere over their area. And they were so negative about their area, the Northwest, so negative. And basically they were saying things like, this is the hardest place in the U.S. This has got the least Christians than any other place in the Northwest. And no one wants even to fly through the atmosphere here because it's so heavy, you know, and things like, oh, we've got the worst, you know, trafficking. We've got the worst this, we've got the worst that. And I thought, whoa, no wonder the atmosphere is so bad because you're agreeing with it. So I encouraged them not to be so negative about their own place and be positive about it because God was going to do something good. And God wanted to establish government there. So I had some authority because they'd given me to come. So I went up the atmosphere and stopped it for the time I was there. And people kept asking, do you feel how heavy the atmosphere is? And I kept saying, no. It's like I live under an open heaven. It goes around with me. So why would I be under any atmospheres? And some of it is like you have to have a different attitude to things. And so I closed that gate because the north gate is always where the enemy comes from. If you read in the Word of God, wherever the enemy attacked, it was always from the north. And so it was really important to close that north gate. So this was the most furthest north I was going to go in Washington and Oregon. And I was there first. So it was important to close that gate, which I did. And then basically everything really opened up for God to move. And what I was mostly looking to do, other than teaching basic principles of how to get into heaven and all about government and how to hear God's voice and things like that, how to go to the courts, you know, basic teaching that we've either done or will do. It was about getting mandates for blueprints and cities of refuge. So every place I went, they'd all had prophetic words that about cities of refuge previously. So I was able to sort of bring that together to help them to go into heaven and get a blueprint for it, which was really great. And while I was in Federal Way there was a number of people actually came up from California, from San Diego and LA, to connect up with the Southwest, which I thought was really interesting because I know that will be a connection that's going to be made to connect the Northwest with the Southwest. So there were people there which were great, and I had a good chat with them while I was there. And then I went over to Yakima. No, it's like Yakima rather than Yakima. We get offended if you call it in English. So I had to use to pronounce it Yakima. 3 hours to the southeast, and it's by a river. It's an Indian name. And I did 7 sessions there, sort of recorded sessions in 2 days with 2 churches and a house church, plus a whole lot of other informal gatherings with leaders and meetings with just questions and answers and question and answers. So they went on for hours. People asked questions. Keep on asking questions, which is good. I like answering questions. Again, challenging about establishing a blueprint about government and leaving them with some challenges of what they're going to do about that. And I met so many people who had been on the Northwest Hangouts there, which was really great. Because you see people, you know, on a screen, which is good. And then when you see them in person, like one of the guys is like, I sort of look, whoa, you're really tall, because you only see people sitting down, and he was like 6'7", so he was just like really tall, and it was really good just to have a hug and see people in person. And they traveled all over Washington, some of them from like 250 miles away, just to come for that few meetings that we did there. But they were really good, really encouraging meetings that there in Yakima. Then I traveled 3 hours southwest down to Oregon. Through the valley, following the Columbia River down, which was a really, really beautiful place. And we stopped at Multnomah Falls, Waterfalls, which was one of the highest in that area. It's like, 700 or 800 feet or something. I love waterfalls. Deb knows. She said, why are you taking a picture of another waterfall? Haven't you got enough pictures of waterfalls? No, because they're all different. They've got a different sound. And this one was great. So we stood under the waterfalls there. And then I did another 7 sessions down there in a day and a half, which was really good. And we did some sessions there again, engaging, getting mandates for the City of Refuge. And before I went down there from Yakima, I had this vision. I was praying. I had this vision of a waterfall and a spring. And when I got to this house, I found they had a waterfall coming down their back garden because it was cut into a hill. And they had a natural spring they discovered when they were building their house, which they've actually filtered out, and it goes out into the air down into a creek. So I thought, oh, this is the right place. Come to the right place. And God, again, we 4 or 5 of us went into heaven together and saw various things that indicated that God really wanted to establish something there as a city of refuge, which was important. And then I went to Vancouver. It's an hour or so up to the north into Washington over the river, and did 7 sessions there with 3 groups in a day and a half. And that's when I was given my Native Indian blanket as a welcome gift. And it's traditional for Native American Indians to welcome people, visitors, with a gift, and they welcome me with this gift, which has a horse on it. And it was very significant because it's all symbolic to me when I saw it. You know, it's got 3 heads. And we're always talking about benches of 3 and 3 government. It's got 7 feathers on its head in terms of the 7 spirits of God and 7 benches of 7. It has 2 things on its tail, arcs coming together to form government and agreement, and then 4 legs, sort of separate from its 4 legs, which is all about 4 faces of God. So I thought, oh, this is really significant. And again, just an open invitation to share and to encourage and to challenge people there to get blueprints with what he was doing. And some people traveled up, actually, from Las Vegas to actually come up there just for the 2 evenings. And people, again, traveled over some of the areas. So, you know, people were really hungry. You know, they really want to know more of what God's doing, which was really great. And then I went down to Corvallis, which is in the south in Oregon, further down, for 2 hours. I did 12 sessions there in 2 days, plus lots of talking with their leaders and things. And again, they have another refuge, City of Refuge mandate. And I encouraged them to go further. But then people from there came from California, LA, and Colorado, Palm Springs, and Texas, and from Colorado. So people were visiting other places, making connections, which is really important in what God does, making connections in the kingdom, seeing those connections established and seeing relationships where God can begin to outwork those things. And in Corvallis, actually, it was really interesting. They had a little box with like a chest, and in it had these little communion things, which are like little things of juice plus a little tiny wafer on top that you could open up. And they had our communion prayers in their box, which was really interesting. They were using that every week. And actually on the Sunday morning when I was there, actually they corporately, they have their communion prayers where they actually speak it out together. And they do that corporately, so that was really interesting. So I really encouraged them and challenged them to set up their bench of 7. So they've got a bench of 3, they're just taking the next steps. So it was a really good time. And then after I finished on the Sunday, they took me back to lunch, and I got to fire guns in their garden. we would call it a garden, but it's sort of like about, I don't know, an acre. And so I got to fire rifles and handguns. It was great fun because their son's right into cowboy stuff. And he had this steer, mock-up steer in the thing with roping stuff. And he was brilliant. I mean, he could rope, lasso these things from like 20, 30 yards backwards over his shoulder and just catch these bull things. It's like rodeo style stuff. So we had a right laugh there. So getting to fire these guns was real fun. I'm actually not bad, actually. Considering I didn't have my glasses on, I managed to hit these metal rabbits and things they've got in their bushes with these things, twang, which is really great fun. So really, it was great actually to connect up the north and the west and the east and the south in that whole area. And so that day, you know, I finished in the morning. We had lunch and I went back to Portland, where many who were coming from the other groups had all gathered on the Sunday evening. They sort of gathered in this house, and they managed to squeeze like 75 people in this house. The houses are slightly bigger than ours. This was on a Sunday evening, and we had this 3-hour meeting where basically just God moved. No one moved for 3 hours. It was just sort of like one of those times when the presence of God just came. And I was then able to sort of help invest a bench for the whole of the Northwest, which was really significant, and also for a city of refuge in Portland, and to bring reconciliation between Vancouver and Washington, which are divided by a bridge. And I saw that this bridge, which had divided them, and this river that divided them, was going to be like the river of life to unite them and to unite Oregon and Washington. So rather than seeing them as individuals, individual states, to see them working together. So it was great to bring two people together to represent them and to bring reconciliation with those two states and two cities, but also with the two people. So I found out that actually they needed some reconciliation themselves, which was quite interesting. So God prophetically did some stuff there, which was really good. And then there was sort of an arc, really, that went down to Atlanta. So I flew overnight. You lose 3 hours as soon as you get on the plane, because America's so big. It goes from a time zone of -8 on one side to -5 on the other. So I traveled 5 hours across, formed an arc of agreement, and several people had seen this arc. And before I came, all the guys had been meeting online just to share the connections that they had and what God wanted to do. So this arc was really good. And I engaged there the first day. I sort of got there, having not slept much on the plane, and I had 8 hours of questions. Just basically from their leadership teams and groups. They just wanted to know so much. So it was 8 hours of questions, sort of interspersed with some sharing lunch and things, but it was really good. And then I did another 11 sessions like in a conference for 2 days, which was great. They sort of hired this facility, and we had a real open heart and open lives there. And again, in 2014, when I was in Atlanta, I helped them get a blueprint. We went into heaven, we saw a blueprint about sending a sound out. And everything was a sound residing out from this area. And like when you drop a pebble into the water and you get sort of ripples go out, they saw this as a sound going out from Atlanta. And when they began to engage heaven, they went into their mountain in heaven and they all had a bell. They found this chamber where they were all given this bell, like a sort of bell like this, because they gave me this bell. And every time they meet, and they basically sound this bell sound to send out this sound in the spirit. And they were doing that for this conference. They met and they were sort of dinging this bell and just sending out that to reach people who wanted to come and hear what God was doing. So it was like a sound that people would resonate with in their spirit, in the spirit. And I'd been doing this myself for the last 3 or 4 months, sending out a blue light and sort of people connecting. I had so many testimonies of people seeing a blue light and having a blue light coming to their room, sort of, which sort of shows that things you do in the realms of heaven, in the realms of the spirit, have a natural outworking. This was a bell that they had at the conference, and they put it at the front and encouraged everybody who wanted to take the sound that they'd received and take it back to where they were to come and ring the bell. So, and they did. And on each night, people just kept coming out and ringing the bell, just so that they were resonating with what God was doing there and wanting to take it back to where they were going. And it was a call for the Joshua generation to be raised up. And this bell was, they gave it me. To bring home. I'm actually going to get a new one there. So I thought, okay, well, that's really good. And then I was given a piece of prophetic art, which was an amazing thing of the open door, Revelation 4:1, a door standing open in heaven. And it's the door with the lion looking through the door. And again, the door to the place of the tabernacle with the two cherubim overlooking. So this, again, is really significant. The steps going up into heaven and the world, basically, between heaven and earth, those steps, so bringing the world into that place and sort of building a city that represents Mount Zion in heaven and on earth, on the right side and on the left. So I don't know what the guy who painted it meant by it, but for me it meant something really significant. So that, again, was something I received there as a prophetic picture of what God is doing. And, you know, that he wanted to do that. And people came from all over the U.S. to go to Atlanta. And that bell was released. So You know, one of the things God said was to release a call for the Joshuas and Calebs to arise, to be a sound for the next generation to resonate with. That's what God said at the beginning of the year, in the beginning of January. And God said, I'm calling fathers and mothers to align their hearts with mine so that I can turn the hearts of the children back to their heavenly destinies. So become a sound of the lion roaring, a new frequency will cause resonance to take place like never before. So it was really good just to see the outworking of that prophetic word, which was in January in Atlanta, and literally all over Atlanta. I traveled from basically from Portland right down to Atlanta, right across the U.S., and those were where people came to Atlanta from. So they traveled from all over. So they, when they'd been issuing the sound of this bell prophetically, calling people to come, people came from Boston, Michigan, St. Louis, various Washington, D.C., you know, all over Tennessee, and then over from L.A. A lady came over from L.A. And several other places. Wyoming, which is sort of right up in the sort of north, sort of east, west way. So God was drawing people to the sound of what he's doing in these days, equipping people, calling people to take that sound, to go where their places are, establish government, establish cities of refuge, establish places where the kingdom can outwork, where the kingdom can be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Things like we're doing here, that we are forerunners in many of the things, because many of the places just have no understanding yet of how to set up a bench of 3 or a bench of 7 or a bench of 12. Things that we've been pushing through ourselves, which has been hard, because forerunners have to make a way, you know, to, for others to follow. And so we've been doing that here and being a place where that sound can go out. So it's really sort of a privilege to be able to take what we've been doing here and go and represent that in other places. And so many places came from all over the U.S. to hear that sound and to hear what God is doing so that they can begin to take it back. And some of them were pastors from churches, from different places, but people just responding from the sound of heaven so that that sound could just be released so they could follow that sound to where God was going to engage them to establish heaven on earth where they are. So it's a significant thing that God's doing. And, you know, government will be established. The kingdom of God is about rule, government, about him establishing heaven on earth. You know, and that pattern established in the northwest going over to the southeast, and it will connect up with the southwest and the northeast. And over that whole nation, and that will spread to many other places. Blueprints and heavenly government established. And, you know, this really is how it happens. You have somebody who is willing to act in a priestly and kingly function in the heavens, and they get a blueprint. There are heavenly blueprints for everything. Your life, there's a blueprint for it. A plan that God has established with your spirit in eternity. And when God begins to engage that blueprint as the Father, Son, and Spirit on the throne in heaven, the bench of 3 of heaven, literally the light shines on that blueprint. There's a mountain in heaven that forms a shadow on the earth. And then we're responsible to see an earthly reflection of heavenly government. That's why it needs to be a reflection, not a copy. Because you have to be, government needs to be foundational to release everybody to fulfill their destinies. So you need an apostolic and prophetic alignment on earth to agree those foundations. And some people now are using rather than apostolic and prophetic because of the old associations with past ministries. They're using legislator and oracle just to differentiate between an old order and a new order of what God is doing. So God wants everyone to outwork their plan and purpose that he has established with them on the earth as it is in heaven. So you have to engage heaven to be able to do it. So you need heavenly agreement with the priestly and kingly, and an earthly agreement with that legislative and oracles of God to bring the reflection of heaven on earth, so that every one of us could be a reflection of heaven on earth. Our lives reflecting the four faces of God and the fullness of God's government, but each ecclesia, church is reflecting God's government, each city of refuge, whatever God's going to be established, needs to be established in heaven so that it can be outworked on earth. So an ark needs to form so that that can be outworked on the earth. Now, what's happened in past generations is people have got a blueprint and they've seen a shadow of that blueprint on the earth, but they've built on top of it. So they've been on top of it, whether they're pastors, prophets, apostles, whether even our own lives, where we are on top of the mountain ruling, it never works. And everyone has to go through somebody else. You know, and God intends that leadership and authority is in foundation so that people can be released to see God for themselves. You don't need to be covered by anybody else. You have an open heaven. But you need foundations to build on so that you can outwork and release the purposes of God for your life. God's plan and purpose so that you will engage what he's called you to do. And every single person has a purpose and destiny in God. You just need to engage God to find it. Your whole life might have been a mess. You know, you may have been a prodigal, so running away from your destiny, seeking earthly things to give you fulfillment. But God is calling you back. He's calling you into relationship. He's calling you into intimacy. He wants you to come out of that slavery mentality, to come into a sonship mentality, knowing that you've been called to be children of God. And if you're children of God, you're joint heirs with God, an heir of all he's made and a co-heir with Jesus to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I don't know how many times we've all said the Lord's Prayer. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we must engage in the as it is in heaven. There's been a covenant with death within the church that says you can only go to heaven when you die. And that's just not true, because there's an open door. We can all step into heaven now and engage the as it is. You can establish the kingdom in heaven through your life and bring that onto the earth as a reflection of heaven to see the kingdom around you, to see God's kingdom come, God's will, God's purpose, God's plan for you and the government around your life, the authority that you've been given from heaven to earth. The question is, you know, do you want to come out of slavery and come into the freedom of sonship? And do you want to engage heaven so that heaven can be manifested on the earth? It's a choice that God gives to everyone. And everyone has free will to accept that choice or to reject it. But for every one of us, there's a plan and purpose and a destiny, which is to do amazing things, is to fulfill bringing creation and the whole created order back into alignment with God's purposes. Because it says in Romans 8 that the whole of creation is waiting, groaning, in bondage, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Waiting for us, his children, to be revealed on the earth as it is in heaven, to be radiating his glory, to be those who are administrating the kingdom, to see change and transformation, to see the whole of creation brought back into its original purpose for what God called it to do. And that just doesn't mean this planet. That means the whole of the created order, both spiritual and physical. God is waiting for his sons to arise so that, it says in Romans 8, that essentially that the whole of creation can be set free, brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So when we reflect God's glory, his image as sons, then we can change everything. And things may well be very different in the future. So God is looking for a people who will be sons of God on the earth to establish places where heaven is on the earth, where heaven can be reflected on the earth and change can take place. So the mountain of the house of the Lord, according to Isaiah 2:2, will be lifted up above all the mountains and all the other authorities in the world so that we can live under the authority of heaven on the earth, live under health, live under blessing, provision, protection, and everything else to see that spread and fill the earth with the glory of God so that the kingdom of God will fill the earth, the glory of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That is God's purpose for us and everybody. And we may have all been messed up on that way, but God wants to restore us and bring us into wholeness so we can be those sons. So that's some of the message I've been bringing and taking, what God wants to do here and what he wants to do all over the world to establish people who can engage in their heavenly destiny and outwork it on the earth. Do you want to be those people? I'm sure lots of other people have heard that sound. The sound to raise up the Joshua generation, to take that frequency out in your lives so that you can reflect heaven on earth. Amen?